Hello everybody, it's Tani here. Welcome to our final class for this series. I can't believe it. Now, as usual, I just want to start by checking you can all hear me because I've just set up on a different computer. So if you can hear me fairly clearly, press 1. But if I sound distorted or really hard to hear, press 2. Brilliant, we have all 1s. That's fantastic. So live on the call, we only have a small number, but I've had lots of emails from people saying that they were hoping to make the last one, but they're going to listen to it on the recording. So at the moment I'm seeing Philippa, Jasmine, Susan, Melinda, we haven't had you on live before, hello, Mary. Hi guys, it's Tani here again. Sorry, I got knocked off the call, and it looks like 2 or 3 others have fallen off as well, or maybe they've hung up and they're going to call back in a minute. I'm sorry about that. We haven't had this problem for 6 weeks or something. Oh well, I'm just going to trust that it's all going to be fine on this computer. Philippa, it looks like you're there. If I do drop off and you see that I've dropped off, can you just tell the others and I'll just dial straight back in again and I'll be back on in probably 30 seconds. It's very quick to dial back in. So for the last lesson, I was sort of sitting with what lesson to teach. We've done a lot of rolling around. Last week we did holding the foot. We've been doing a lot of lessons about flexion and folding the body. So I don't really want to start a whole new thing on the last lesson. So I've picked a lesson today which builds on a lot of the stuff we've done. It does take it in a slightly different direction, but it will still be looking at curling the body, flattening the lower back, which is a lot of what we've been doing in the last few weeks. And it's a wonderful thing to go deeper into because many people doing this program, and of course many people around the world, suffer from neck pain and lower back pain. And part of that comes from the patterns that we're running when we move and how we hold ourselves. One of the strongest patterns that we do, that many of us do, is arching our back, sticking our chest out, keeping our lower back in a state of work and exertion and tension. It also creates follow-through problems for the neck. And so in a lot of these lessons, we're looking at going into the opposite pattern of allowing our body to fold, allowing our chest to soften, allowing our lower back to flatten. So I'm going to look a little bit more at some of that today. So I'm going to get you to start by coming up to standing. If you're not already standing, it's just a really nice way to start the lesson. So you're standing just quietly with your eyes closed. Just noticing your weight on your feet. Is it more on the balls of your feet? Is it more on the heels of your feet? How stable do you feel on your 2 feet? Is your weight on the inside edge or the outside edge? And then just start to notice the shape of your back. Imagine someone ran their hand along the back surface of your back. Notice where would the curves be, where would the arches be, where would the flat parts be, the round parts. Is there a bigger arch in the lower back or behind the neck? Now imagine someone ran their hand over the front of your torso. Notice, does your chest feel like it's lifted or sunken down? Does your belly feel like it sticks out or it pulls in? Just get a sense of the shape without any judgment. And do the 2 shapes seem to match, the front and the back? Or do the curves seem to contradict each other somehow? Now I want you to imagine a 3rd curve. Now I want you to actually sense your spine, which lies somewhere between the back surface of you and the front surface of you. The actual vertebral column is about halfway between. We sort of have this idea that our spine is at the back of us, sticking out the back, but it's actually not. It's in the middle. But it has these fins that are called spinous processes. They're like the fins on a shark or the fins on a dolphin, and they stick out, and that's what we feel when we run our hands down our back and feel these knobbly bits. But that's not the actual dolphin. That's not the actual shark. That's not the actual spinal column. That's just the fins sticking out. So just get a sense for this trunk. It's like a trunk or a tube that's going down the middle of you, and it has vertebrae, one balanced on top of the other. Now, it's unlikely you will actually literally sense your spine because there's not that many nerves around there that give us that sort of clear information. But just have an idea of where it is. Just feel that. And as you let your attention go up the length of your spine in your imagination, just notice where are the curves, Where are the arches? Where are the flat places? It's a very strange thing to sense our spine really in the middle of ourselves, because as I said, we tend to have a distorted perception of where it is, and that actually influences a lot of fundamental movements, for example, bending. So then let that go. Go for a little walk around the room just to sense how your body's moving today, particularly noticing, is there any movement through your chest, your torso, different parts of your spine as you move? Or does it feel like it's all one big chunk? Does your chest feel free or not free? And then find a nice place to lie on the floor. We're not going to be rolling side to side today, so you don't need as much space. As the last few weeks where we've been very roly-poly, today we'll just be lying in one spot. So just lying on the floor. And if you can have your legs long, have them long. But if not, feel free to bend your knees. And just start by taking a snapshot on this final day in the series of how your body's lying on the floor now. And just start by noticing, where does your attention go? Have you already developed a habit in how you pay attention to yourself when doing a Feldenkrais lesson? Some of you have probably done perhaps nine lessons by now, maybe a few less. So that's enough time to develop a habit. So do you tend to notice the places that are painful or the places that are comfortable? Do you tend to notice the gaps behind you or the places that contact the floor? Do you tend to maybe notice the differences between the two sides? Or maybe there's many other things that your attention goes to straight away that I haven't mentioned. And so let's actually bring our attention now to the back of our chest. Feel how that's contacting the floor. Do you feel like you're heavier on the left or the right side of your chest, your upper back? How wide is the imprint that your upper back, the back of your chest, makes on the floor? How long is that imprint? If you were lying in sand, in soft sand, and you stood up, imagine the imprint that your upper back, the back of your chest, would make in the sand. Notice how big it is, how wide it is, how deep it is. That might give you some indication of how heavily or solidly your upper back is lying on the floor. And now bring your attention to the back of your head. Notice how much of your skull is on the floor, the shape that is on the floor, how heavy it is. And then once again, imagine you were lying in sand and you stood up and looked down at the indentation that your head has made. How deep is it? How wide is it? Is it deeper than the imprint that your chest made? Or is it less deep? Notice in the back of your pelvis, you feel like you're sinking into the floor more on the left side or the right side. You feel like you're sinking into the floor more on the top part of your pelvis that's closer to your head, or the bottom part of your pelvis that's closest to your feet. How wide is your pelvis? How heavy? And once again, imagine standing up and looking back at the imprint that your pelvis makes in the sand. And now, is it an even imprint, or do you see that one side is deeper than the other, or one part is heavier or deeper in the imprint than another? And is it a deeper imprint than the chest or the head? Which of these three feels deepest? It's just another way to ask the question. And then using your frog legs movement that you've learned in the first lesson, if you've done that lesson yet, bend your knees, stand your feet. If you haven't done that lesson, then just bend your knees any way you like. And now let's do something very small and very gentle. I want you to very gently press your feet into the floor to roll your pelvis a little bit towards you. You'll feel your lower back flattens a tiny bit. Your tailbone tilts away from the floor towards the ceiling. And your pubic bone in front, the front of your pelvis, tilts up towards your face. And then slowly unpress your feet and feel your pelvis roll back to neutral, roll back to the starting position. And let's do that again, very small. It's just a small movement. Someone watching would not even be able to see that you're moving. So you're pressing your feet into the floor to roll your pelvis towards you. And then unpressing your feet to come back to the middle. Pressing your feet in to roll your pelvis towards you. Feeling your lower back flatten. And slowly rolling back to neutral. Now, just pause there. We're going to do a test movement just to see what this is like. In a moment, don't do it yet. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to actually lift your pelvis into the air. Now, for some people, it will lift a fraction of a millimeter, like barely lift at all. For some people, it will lift high into the air. For some people, it won't lift at all. Don't try and do a big movement. Just see what is there. How heavy does your pelvis feel? Does it lift? Does it not lift? How does it feel? So go ahead and just play with that just once. How heavy does your pelvis feel? How do you organize this movement? Does your pelvis lift at all without any judgment? And lower your pelvis back to the floor if it did lift. And then leave that. Now we're going to look at ways we can make this easier. So what I want to do is start the movement of lifting the pelvis by actually that movement of rolling your pelvis. So gently press your feet into the floor to roll your pelvis towards you so that your tailbone lifts a little bit, and then keep pressing your feet to lift your pelvis just a tiny bit off the floor if that's possible for you, and if not, just imagine that it's lifting. And then lower your pelvis back down and then roll the pelvis back to neutral. So instead of lifting it straight up, you're actually curling it towards you and then lifting it. This just makes it much safer for the lower back. That's why I want to teach you that first. So you roll your pelvis towards you and then press your feet more to actually lift your tailbone and then lift your sacrum. And you're just lifting the pelvis off the floor a tiny bit. Your spine is pretty much staying on the floor. And then you slowly lower your sacrum down, your pelvis, your tailbone, everything comes back to neutral. Now pause and just notice, where have you chosen to place your feet? So once I told you we were going to be lifting the pelvis, did you adjust your feet at all? Could you adjust your feet at all to make it easier? See where you could place your feet to make this easier for yourself. I'm not going to tell you where. You might want to try a few different places. And so, again, with your feet in a new place, maybe further away or closer to you or further out to the side or closer together, start to roll your pelvis towards you, lift the tailbone and then the sacrum and then the pelvis. Just a small movement and slowly lower back down in the reverse order. And then try your feet in a different place. So if you had them far away from you, try them close to your bottom. If you had them close to you, try them far away. And just see, does it make a difference? Maybe you want to try your feet further apart or closer together. There are some standard places that will tend to be easiest, but I want you to find them for yourself. And then let it go, lengthen your legs and have a rest. Of course, you're always welcome to rest with your knees bent. And just noticing, after doing a few tiny movements of lifting the pelvis, how does it feel lying on the floor? And start to pay attention to your lower back. How big of an arch do you have there right now? Does your lower back feel like it's doing any work? Notice the way your legs lie on the floor. So earlier in the call, I did drop off the call. I noticed some of you hung up and dialed back in. If that does happen again, if I do fall off, just stay on the line because I'll just dial straight back in. It takes me about 30 seconds. But hopefully that won't happen again. So once again, using your frog legs movement, bend your knees, stand your feet. And have your feet fairly close to you and about shoulder width apart. So that may be a position that you discovered was easiest, or maybe that's a new position for you. And once again, let's slowly roll the pelvis towards you. Your lower back flattens, and then you keep pressing the feet to lift the tailbone, then the sacrum, then the pelvis, maybe even the first vertebrae of your spine. For some of you, you might even lift up to the second vertebrae, and then come back in the reverse order. Second vertebrae, then first vertebrae, then top of the pelvis, then sacrum, then your tailbone, and you come back to neutral. Now, for those of you that's much too big a movement, you can just do the very first part of it. So everybody adapt it to what's possible for you. I'm just going to describe a kind of smallish movement. And just doing that again, and notice what happens in your feet as you do this movement. Does more weight come onto your feet? Does less weight? And now pause, let your pelvis rest on the floor. Now what I want you to do is just lift up the ball of your left foot and tap it on the floor. Lift and lower, so you're just going tap, 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 tap. Your heel stays on the floor, it's just the front part of your, top part of your foot that lifts where your toes are and the ball of your foot. So you're just going tap, 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 tap. Tapping the ball of your foot up and down. And you can actually tap quite hard with this. It's one of those few movements in Feldenkrais where I say put a bit of oomph into it. And notice, is there any movement through your knee, your hip, your body? And then pause. And this time lift the heel and tap your heel up and down into the floor. And notice, does that create more movement through your knee, your hip, your body? Or did lifting the ball of your foot create more movement? And then go heel toe, heel toe, heel toe at whatever speed is possible for you. And notice again, is there any movement through the rest of your body? Some of you might even feel movement in your head. Some of you might feel no movement anywhere. That's fine. Leave that, let that foot rest. And just start to tap the ball of your right foot up and down. You can tap with a bit of oomph. You can tap as fast as you like. It's just kind of waking the feet up. Quite a fun thing to do. And then tap your heel a few times. Tap, 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 with a bit of oomph, and then you can go heel toe, heel toe, heel toe, heel toe. And is that easier on this foot? Do you feel your body rocking at all? And then leave that and tap both balls of your feet up and down. And notice, do you tap them simultaneously, or do you do left, right, left, right, left, right? Maybe you want to try the other way. And then tap both heels. Again, play with doing left, right, or just both. And then do heel toe, heel toe, heel toe, and then leave that. And just lengthen your legs for a moment and have a rest. So we've just sent a little bit of attention into the soles of our feet and explored the connection of pressing into the floor with our feet through the rest of the body. So let's see if this influences our lifting of the pelvis. So once again, do your frog legs movement, bend your knees, stand your feet, have them shoulder width apart and quite close to your buttocks. And now press your feet into the floor, roll your pelvis very gently towards you so that the tailbone lifts a little bit, and then keep pressing to lift your pelvis. And you might find, for some of you, that you actually lift a tiny bit higher now. Your feet and legs have learned something about how they connect into your body. And then as you lower down, reverse the order so that it's your vertebrae, then the lower vertebrae, then the pelvis, the sacrum, the tailbone. And everything comes back down. So let's do that again. And this time, as you do that movement of lifting your pelvis, I want you to think of sending your knees forwards and away from your head. As your pelvis lifts, your knees actually move forwards and away from you. Just see if it's possible to organize that. And you might find it actually makes the pelvis slightly easier to lift. So you always start by rolling your pelvis towards you, then pressing your feet into the floor, sending your knees forwards. You could imagine I was standing in front of you, and I put a hand on each knee, and I pulled them towards me, away from you. And it just changes the angle of the pelvis. You might feel that it lifts a tiny bit higher. And always, as you come down, could you come down one vertebrae at a time? And then when your pelvis is on the floor, leave it and have a complete rest with your legs long or bent, whatever's easiest. And just take a moment to notice your contact with the floor now. Now, while you're resting, I want you to imagine where your spine is now. So remembering that it's in the middle of you, halfway between the front of you and the back of you. See if you can imagine your spinal column from the base of your neck all the way down to your pelvis. Don't worry if you don't know technically the shapes or what it should look like. Just get a vague, rough feeling of where it is, a vague feeling of any curves. And now what I want you to do is imagine that that spine is like a chain with links in it, lots of different links. And so bend your knees, stand your feet, bring your feet close to your bottom, and we're going to lift the pelvis, but we're going to lift it one link at a time. So you could think of the tailbone as the first link, and then the sacrum as the second link, and then the very lowest vertebrae could be the next link, and then the vertebrae above that could be the next link. And just see if you can go up, really being very clear that you are lifting one vertebrae at a time. If you're still only doing the tailbone, the sacrum, still think of them as two separate links, bending your knees forwards and away from you. And then as you come back, could you come back one link lower down at a time? So you lower down one vertebrae and then the one below it, and then the one below it, and then the one below it, and then the sacrum and then the tailbone. Just staying in a range, it feels really easy. Like all the lessons we've done, it's not about pushing. It's not a yoga pose. So if you feel you're going into a stretch, do 50%. Go half the size. By the way, this lesson will dramatically help your yoga if you do bridges in yoga. But the way that it will help you is by relearning new ways of using your spine. And you can only learn those new ways by doing a small and slow movement. Later on, once you've learned them, you go back to yoga, you'll find it's much easier to stretch and do all your bridges and everything. But while you're in the Feldenkrais process, you're in a learning environment, so you want to stay in a very small, easy range, nowhere near a stretch. And when you need to rest, rest. And then everybody rest, just lengthening your legs. So now we're playing with the idea that the spine is like a chain. We did a lesson a few weeks ago which was about lifting the head. And if you think about it, that was about lifting the top half of the chain. The head was the top link, and then all the little vertebrae in the neck, and then the top vertebrae in the back, and then all the lower vertebrae below that, one at a time, lifting as the head lifted. So let's just remind ourselves of that. Bend your knees, stand your feet, interlace your hands and place them behind your head. Now, remember, we learned some things that made this movement easier. So things we learned were that if we breathe out, so don't do the movement yet, let's just revise some of these things. In your imagination, imagine that as you lift your head, you breathe out, your chest softens, your elbows float up towards the ceiling, and you lift each link one at a time, first the head, and then the different vertebrae of the neck one after the other, and then the one at the base of the neck, the big vertebrae, and then the one below that, and then the one below that as your chest softens. And imagining that your eyes would look down to the floor between your feet as you exhale. And then as you inhale, imagine lowering down one vertebrae at a time through your upper back, your neck, until your head touches the floor. And now let's go ahead and actually do that in real life. Breathing in, and then as you breathe out, just start by lifting the head only. So your shoulders stay on the floor, just lift the head, and then lift the vertebrae at the base of the neck, and then the one below it, and then the one below it. You can press the middle of your back in the floor, into the floor to help you. And then lower back one vertebrae at a time. The upper back, the vertebrae above that, the one above that, really slowly, the base of the neck, until your head touches back down again. Now, some people will be doing a bigger movement, some will be doing a smaller movement, but however much of the chain you're lifting, do it one link at a time. So starting that again,
first movement is just a lifting of the head, so your chin nods forwards, but your shoulders stay on the floor. And then you keep lifting. You lift the next link, and then the next link. And you might find pressing the middle of your back into the floor, letting your chest soften, letting your elbows lift towards the ceiling makes it easier, letting your eyes look down towards your crotch. All the stuff we learnt the other week. And then coming back one link at a time. Really playing with that idea of the spine being like a chain. So it's slightly different than how we did it a few weeks ago. We weren't doing it one link at a time then. So again, starting with the top link, the head, and then the one under that, the one under that, one under that. And coming down again, one link at a time. And then take your hands out, let them have a rest. And just notice, after doing that, you can lengthen your legs. How does your upper back lie on the floor? How does your pelvis lie on the floor? Notice your lower back, pelvis, your legs. And now interlace your hands the other way. So if you had your left thumb on top, your left index finger, your left third finger on top, swap them all over so that the right ones are on top. So whichever way you had it, do the opposite. It will feel really weird to have your hands interlaced the opposite way. And then place them behind your head with your hands interlaced the opposite way. And once again, let's see what it's like to lift our head with our spine like a chain, one link at a time. So start by waiting for the out-breath. And as you breathe out, letting your elbows float up a little bit, letting your eyes look down towards your crotch, your head lift, then the top vertebrae at the base of the neck, then the one under it, then the one under it, feeling the shape of your chest change as it softens and folds, and then coming back one vertebrae at a time. Now, don't make this into a sit-up. It's not a big stomach crunch. It doesn't need to have any effort. Just do whatever's easy. Might be a very small movement. And then the next time your head's on the floor, take your hands away. Leave your knees bent, but just let your arms rest. Bring your feet close to your buttocks, and let's see now what it's like to lift the lower part of the chain now. So start by pressing the feet, rolling your pelvis towards you, sending your knees forwards as you lift your pelvis a tiny bit, and then maybe a little bit more, one link at a time. And some of you may find that it now lifts a bit more easily after exploring the top half of the chain. Some of you may find it doesn't. And then coming back one link at a time. Lowering down one link at a time. So the last thing to lower will be the sacrum and then the tailbone. Once you've lowered down, have a complete rest with your knees bent and then do the movement again. Feeling how your pelvis tilts. Feeling how the weight travels up your spine as your knees lift. And then coming down one vertebrae at a time. It's a really good way to subtly free up all the different parts of the spine. The next time your bottom's on the floor, just lengthen your legs and have a brief rest, noticing your contact with the floor. So throughout these classes, we keep coming back to our contact with the floor because it just gives us a very clear indication if things are changing. Because it's not really about achieving the movement, it's about learning how we're holding ourselves, how we're using ourselves. And what tends to happen is as our brains uncover limiting patterns in our body, it lets them go, our movements become more fluid and easy, our posture tends to become more neutral. And one way of sensing that is that it tends to change how we're lying on the floor, how our body's organized for lying. Of course, when we go into any kind of movement or standing or walking, we can also see the changes. Just a nice simple one is feeling our contact with the floor, because it's something we can always compare, always come back to on any given day. And it's a nice way of checking in with your body, actually. Some of you know I've been traveling around New Zealand going through all sorts of breakups and romance and sagas and emotional torture, and I just keep coming back to the floor. Come back to the floor and I check in with myself. Is my body in neutral today? And as I talked about last week, if I use this kind of meditative movement awareness process that we're doing in Feldenkrais to bring my body back to neutral, I then tend to find that my thoughts come back to being neutral, my emotions come back to neutral. I just drop back into my center. And it's such a quick and very concrete way of doing it. Of course, with all that's been happening, I've been trying many other ways, emotional ways, energetic ways. They're all very powerful as well. But I know that I can always just get on the floor and pay close and gentle and fine attention to how my body's moving. And by doing that, I drop back into my center. My body becomes aware of the habits and patterns that it has dropped into while I've been emotional or stressed. Just like we can start to catch our thoughts, we can catch our behavioral patterns, we can catch what's going on in our energetic system, we can also, by doing this kind of work, start to catch the habits that our body is doing. And I'm just telling you this because it's such a powerful way of coming back to neutral. I could not have worked through the amount of stuff I have in the last 2 weeks in my emotional life if I didn't know how to keep bringing myself back to neutral. And this Feldenkrais method is one of the most powerful ways I know. And it's just not very well known out there for that kind of purpose. It's really only known for getting yourself out of pain or moving better, or if you're an athlete running faster, or if you're a singer or a musician or a dancer, using your body better as an instrument. And those are all wonderful reasons to explore Feldenkrais. I mean, the reason I got into it was because I was in chronic pain and I needed to get out of pain. I was crippled. I couldn't walk. But the reason I end up doing it now is because it's a powerful tool for centering, for becoming aware of your patterns, for personal growth, and for very profound shifting of your patterns on all levels. If you can shift the patterns in your body, you'll see it ripple out through the patterns in your thinking, your emotional life, your energy field. It's quite profound. And it's an easy way to do it, and it's a way that leaves you feeling good. So that's why the more people discover it, they tend to keep doing it because it feels so good. So that's a little explanation of why we're doing this in such a subtle way. So now use your frog legs movement to bend your knees, stand your feet. And now let's just come back to the same movement of lifting the pelvis and see how that's going now after having had a little bit of a rest. Keep your feet close to your buttocks. Really think of sending your knees forwards and away from you. Lifting one vertebrae at a time. How high up your spine on the floor do you travel? Moving up and up, and then slowly coming back down, one vertebrae at a time, really slowly. And are you doing what you think you're doing? Or are you coming down in huge chunks? And that's okay if you are. It's just about awareness. The next time your bottom is on the floor, leave it there. And now bring your arms up on the floor above your head. So they're not in the air, they're resting on the floor, but they're long above you. If you need to bend them so that your elbows are on the floor, then bend them. They're basically somewhere above your head, your arms and elbows just lying comfortably above your head on the floor. Now with your arms like this, see what it's like to press your feet into the floor, roll your pelvis and lift your pelvis one vertebrae at a time. And you might find with your arms out of the way that you can actually lift your pelvis higher than you think you can. Some of you may even be lifting it all the way up into the air. And feel where the weight comes to on your spine. Does it come a bit higher? And then once again lowering down one vertebrae at a time, keeping your arms where they are. Lowering down one vertebrae at a time, really slowly and gently, until your bottom's on the floor, and then just have a brief rest. Keep your arms where they are. Then we're going to do that a second time. Pressing your feet into the floor, sending your knees away from you, rolling your pelvis towards you, and then lifting your pelvis one vertebrae at a time. Noticing how far up you travel now. And when you've come up as high as you can, just pause there for a moment. And while your pelvis is in the air, just slide your arms long back down beside you on the floor. Your pelvis is still in the air. Once your arms are back in their normal position, then lower yourself down one vertebrae at a time, one link at a time, till you're all the way back on the floor, and then have a brief rest in this position. Let everything rest. Let yourself exhale. And now let's see what your brain learned by having got the arms in a different position. So press your feet into the floor, roll your pelvis towards you, and lift your pelvis, sending your knees forwards and away from you. And you might even find you can actually lift to the same place you just were lifting, even though your arms are now not above your head, or somewhere near there maybe. And slowly lower down one vertebrae at a time. And once you're all the way back down on the floor, lengthen your legs and have a rest. Now this is one of those lessons that for some people, particularly if you're suffering lower back pain, it can be really challenging to lift your pelvis even a millimeter. But as the lesson goes on, what we're doing is we're starting to introduce more and more parts of your spine into the equation, so that it will mean that not just the sore, inflamed lower back vertebrae are needing to do the work, but more and more parts of the spine can contribute. And what will happen for some of you is that you'll find that as we go on, you'll actually find that you can lift a little bit higher than you think. But it's really not about how high, it's about how much awareness. And are you really coming down one link at a time? You're just noticing now, how does your pelvis lie on the floor, the back of your legs? And then use your frog legs movement to bend your knees, stand your feet. Now interlace your hands behind your head, just the habitual normal way. And in a moment we're going to lift the other end of the chain one link at a time. So you're going to wait till you breathe out. And as you breathe out, thinking of letting your eyes look down to your crotch, your shoulders lift, you lift the head first, then the lowest vertebrae of the neck, and the one below that, and the one below that, and just notice, has that changed at all for you? You might find you can lift a little bit more of your spine. And slowly lowering down, one link at a time. Until you're all the way down to the floor again, and then briefly rest, let your elbows rest. And then we'll do that again. Always remembering your chin will come down to your chest, your eyes will look down to your crotch, and you're lifting one link at a time. And notice, is anything responding in your pelvis? Does it tend to also curl a little bit towards you, so that the lower links are sort of subtly matching the upper ones? Even though they're not lifting into the air, they're just rolling a little bit towards you. And then coming down again, one vertebrae at a time. And when you're ready, just doing it one final time. Notice how the middle of your back can press into the floor. And slowly lowering back down. And letting everything go, lengthening your legs, having a rest. Just noticing how your body's contacting the floor now. And then use your frog legs movement to bend your knees, stand your feet. Bring your feet close to your buttocks and just see now what it's like to Roll your pelvis towards you, press your feet into the floor, send your knees away, and lift your pelvis one vertebrae at a time into the air. Notice how far up your spine your weight travels now. Some of you might even feel you're somewhere up near your neck, and slowly coming down one vertebrae at a time. And of course, if you're still at the point where you're only lifting a little bit, that's fine. The first time I did this lesson, I don't think I even lifted it at all at any point until right near the end. And that's totally fine. Just do whatever's possible for you. But you may find that if you're struggling to lift your pelvis, that you still could lift your head or vice versa. And now come back to the middle with your pelvis. Let it rest on the floor. Interlace your hands behind your head. Now, go ahead and lift your pelvis just a little bit into the air, just somewhere comfortable, and keep it lifted there. Keep your pelvis in the air, and then go ahead and press the middle of your back into the floor and lift your head. So now your head's lifted a little bit, your pelvis is lifted a little bit, and your whole body's curved kind of like a banana shape. And then slowly lower them both down and just rest with your hands behind your head. Notice how your spine is now flat. And I want you to really sense the middle of yourself where the spine is. It's not on the floor, it's not in front of you, it's smack down the middle of your torso, the spinal column. I want you to think of that bending up into a banana shape, that spinal column. So go ahead and let's do that again. Lift the pelvis just a little bit, send your knees away from you. Pause once your pelvis is lifted a little bit, and then press the middle of your back into the floor, let your chin come down to your chest, lift your head, and just pause there and notice where your weight is resting. Somewhere probably in the middle of the banana is pressing into the floor. Feel how your spine is curved like a banana. And then lower both ends of the banana down. Or you could imagine that both ends of the chain have been lifted and curved up into a banana shape. And let's do that again. Lifting your pelvis a little bit and then lifting your head. So everything's curled into a banana shape. Now, this is your new starting position, this banana shape. And I want you to now roll yourself down the length of the banana a little bit. So your head will lift a little bit, your pelvis will lower a little bit. But your whole spine stays curved like a banana. And then you roll up the other way. Your pelvis lifts as your head lowers, but you still stay curved. And it's very tiny. You're probably only rolling a couple of millimeters, tenth of an inch. And then you roll down a little bit again, your head lifts a tiny bit, your pelvis lowers a tiny bit. It's like you're just ironing out this one part of the banana by rolling up and down over it. For some of you, it will be in your upper back, for some of you, your middle of your back, some of you more towards your neck, for some of you more towards your lower back. It really depends on how high you've lifted the head. And then let it go. Let everything go. Lengthen your legs. Lengthen your arms and have a rest. Now that little sequence we just did is actually quite challenging. So if you found that too difficult or if it created pain, then I invite you to keep your head and pelvis on the ground and just imagine that you've lifted them. You will get probably almost the exact same amount of learning if you really concentrate and imagine yourself doing it. When I started my Feldenkrais training, as I said, I was quite crippled. I couldn't participate in most of the lessons, but I used to lie there and just do them in my imagination, and I always found I got up off the floor feeling better. My posture had changed, and I could do movements that I couldn't do an hour earlier simply by doing the lessons in my imagination. So if this banana business that we're doing now is too difficult for you, that's okay. There's absolutely no reason to push anything. No one's watching you. There's no reason to lift high. There's no reason to even do all the movements. The only reason to even be here is for your own learning, not to achieve anything. And you can learn just as much with your imagination. Noticing how your body's contacting the floor now. Do you feel as arched in your lower back and your neck? Or do you feel flatter? Oh, I think I just said flatter like a New Zealander. I said flatter. That accent is morphing before my eyes while I'm here. But bend your knees, stand your feet. No offense to the Kiwis on the call. I love your accent. It's gorgeous. And it's definitely taking over my speaking. So bring your feet close into your buttocks. Interlace your hands behind your head. And once again, just start by gently lifting the pelvis a little bit. And then lifting your head just far enough that you feel you're curved like a banana. And once again, start to roll up the length of the banana. Your pelvis will lift as your head lowers. And then your head will lift a little bit as your pelvis lowers. But the whole banana retains its curved shape. So it's not a very big movement. And it's like you're just rolling over this part of your back. Notice, are you tensing your buttock muscles? Could you let them go? Are you tensing your belly? Could you let it go? Are you holding your breath? What would happen if you let yourself breathe? Anytime you need to rest, you just lower everything down, lower the buttocks down, lower the head down. And just rest, and then when you've had a rest, you can come back up into the banana shape and keep rolling. And you might want to play with rolling a bit lower towards your lower back so the head lifts higher. And just rolling over that little bit for a while. Rolling up and down that little bit. Or you might want to try your starting position being a bit higher up the spine and just rolling up and down there. You can really play with ironing out whatever part of your spine you like. And then let everything go. Lengthen your legs. Have a rest. If you're still interested in playing with that, feel free to keep going. But otherwise, just let everything relax. Lengthen out your arms, your legs. And just notice now what you sense in your contact with the floor. This is a very simple lesson, but it's a very powerful one. And some of you might sense that your contact with the floor has changed a little bit. Some of you it might have changed a lot. And then for the last time, bend your knees, stand your feet. Bring your feet close to your buttocks. And just see what it's like to press your feet into the floor and lift your pelvis now. Notice what has changed since the start of the lesson. I'm not that interested in how high you lifted. I'm much more interested in how much you can sense what's happening through your spine, your chest. Are you able to lower down one link at a time now rather than big chunks at a time? And then do that again and notice, does one foot tend to press more than the other? Or maybe they're the same. And then leave that. Lengthen your legs. Have a final rest. Now, some of you may have found your pelvis lifted a lot higher. Some of you may have found it didn't change at all. It's not really about how high you lift the pelvis. But you may find that just lying on the floor, your body has a very different organization now. Because no matter how high you are lifting it, your brain will have learned a lot about the patterns in your spine from doing that exploration. So noticing now, imagine you are lying on sand. And just start to sense the back of your chest. How does that sink into the floor? How wide? How heavy? Imagine you stood up and looked at the imprint of your upper back. How big is it? How deep is it? Has it changed? And then sense how your back of your skull contacts the floor now. And then imagine you stood up and just notice now, does it feel like it would leave a bigger indent or a shallower indent or a deeper indent now? For some people it might be very different. For some it might be similar. And then sense the back of your pelvis now as it lies on the floor. You feel like it's tilted a bit to the left or the right or forwards or back. How wide is it? And then imagine that you got up and you saw the imprint of your pelvis on the sand. Is it deeper now or shallower, wider, narrower? Maybe there's more imprint on one side or the other. And if you struggle with these visualizations, just sense, how is your pelvis lying on the floor? How does it feel? How does your back, how does your head feel? And now pay attention to the space behind your lower back, space behind your knees, the space behind your neck. And have they changed at all? And then if you were here when we did the rolling up to sitting lesson, just find a nice way to roll up to sitting by rolling to one of your sides, coming up to sitting. That might feel a bit different now because we have actually freed up the spine significantly. And that will really affect that rolling movement. And then slowly come up to standing. And just arrive in standing and notice, what do you sense? Have your eyes closed if that's comfortable for you. Where is the weight now in your feet? Has that changed at all? And now notice the shape of your back. Imagine someone ran their hand up your back. Notice the arches, the curves. Imagine someone ran their hand up your front. Is that organized differently now? Is your chest lower or higher? Is your belly in a different place? And now just run your imagination up that spine, the spinal column that's through the middle of you. Notice what that feels like now. Does it feel more arched, more curved? Does it feel longer or shorter, straighter, bendier? And then let that go and just sense your whole body standing there. How light do you feel? How heavy? Open your eyes and just see, where is your horizon now? Is it in a slightly different spot than usual? Just start to go for a slow walk around the room with your eyes open. And notice now what's happening in your arms. Are they swinging differently? What's happening through your chest? Your spine? Is there a different kind of movement now? And then we're going to finish by getting you to come back over to your computer. I'm just going to ask you guys a couple of questions because it is our last session. So I'm just curious to know if anyone felt that it got easier to lift their pelvis as the lesson went on. The pelvis either lifted higher or just felt lighter. If so, just press 1 on your keypad, those of you who have a keypad or your phone pad. That's interesting. Most hands went up who have computers. Actually, all hands went up. That's great. See, for some people that doesn't happen in this lesson. And if you're listening at home, and you found that it didn't get easier, then that's okay. I'm going to take the hands down now, and I want to ask those of you who noticed that you were lying on the floor differently at the end, press 2. Yep, I'm seeing all the hands pretty much go up, except for a couple. And now I'm going to take those down, or actually everyone now. And those of you who found that your walking or your standing had been influenced by what we did, press 3. There's lots of different ways that these lessons can affect us. Yeah, well, everyone's pressed 3. And now I'm going to ask an even more interesting question. Notice if your mood or your state of mind feels a little bit shifted from doing that very close meditative practice. And if so, press 4. If your state of mind or your mood feels different now. Yeah, so I'm seeing about half the hands go up for that one. Actually, no, more 4s are coming up now. Almost all the hands have gone 4 now. Yeah, it's really amazing. So you've shifted not just how you move, not just your ability to perform a particular function like lift your pelvis, not just the way you're organized on the floor, the way you're organizing gravity, but now all the hands have pressed 4 also has affected your state of mind and your mood. So this really is a very powerful tool. So you've now all got 10 lessons that you can do whenever you want. They've all been exploring a particular theme, which is around folding and bending. I am going to run another series probably when I get back to Australia in February.
I'll give myself a couple of weeks to settle in, and then it'll be sometime in February that we'll start. So I'm quite curious to know if that's of interest to you guys. So if it is, just press 1 on your phone, and then I'll just get a sense of if there's interest in doing more of this work. And I'll probably pick some different movement patterns then. And I would also be very open to requests from people if there's different things you want to look at, different parts of the body, different movements. Maybe you've always wanted to be able to run more easily, or bend down and pick your kids up, or lift things, or sit more comfortably at your computer. There's many, many possibilities. So I'm seeing quite a lot of hands go up, so that's good. So, yeah, I will be open to any suggestions. I'll probably send out an email to you all closer to the time and say, hey, we're going to do another series. What would you like to explore? Twisting or backward bending or, you know, back pain, neck pain, knee pain, hip pain. There's so many directions you can take Feldenkrais, because there's over 1,000 lessons and we've only done 10. So, and in fact, each lesson could be taught 20 different ways, focusing on different parts of the body, different patterns. So there's so much to do. That's why I like to design it around people. So it's very exciting. So I just have to finish with a couple of shares from people. There's only about 6 or 7 of you on the phone. So those of you who have access to a microphone, I think it would be really inspiring for everyone to just share either something that you noticed about this lesson that you found interesting or inspiring or that changed for you or that was helpful, or maybe just something about one of the other lessons or the combination of them or the course generally. So anyone who has anything to share that you think might be inspiring, because it would just be lovely to end on a positive note, press 1 on your phone and I will pass you the mic. And we can listen to each other from all over the world, which would be lovely. I'm going to start with Marcia. Hey, Marcia, you got the microphone. Go ahead.
Oh, I have to tell you, when I first read about your idea of doing these teleclasses, I thought it was brilliant. Now that I've done them, I think it's more than brilliant. It was spectacular. And I am calling from the States. I love listening to your voice and the accent. But this was absolutely wonderful. And from here, because it's already 9 in the evening, I'm just going to take a warm tea and tuck myself into bed, as I've done every day that I've been able to join you. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, lovely, Marcia. I love having people in all different parts of the world, different time zones. It's so gorgeous to think you're about to get into bed and I'm just going to go walk by the beach and someone else has just woken up. It's very funny. Beautiful. Thank you so much for that. I'm going to pass now to Sally, who I think is in Melbourne. Go ahead,
Sally. Hi, Connie. Hi.
Hello.
This is the first I've done live, which is interesting and a bit different. I just wanted to say how I noticed with the pushing forward with the knees, when I realised to stop lifting my pelvis, I noticed a big difference in the way that it went up my spine. It just sort of was a lot more centering, sort of when I did it differently, I noticed how much better it was when I kind of, it clicked with how to do it properly, I think. So I just wanted to mention that and to thank you very much. I've been a bit slack with making sure that I do it every week, so I kind of want to make sure that I get it into a regular kind of a habit to do it, so that I feel the benefit more, because I do feel it's really important for me to have my body centered as well as mind, and it's just all part of the overall balance, and it's a lovely exercise, and I'm recommending it to all of my friends.
Oh, beautiful. Well, I'll definitely run some more classes earlier in the year. But I just want to say to those of you, yeah, it's really great to get into a routine. I used to do it every day, just get up and put on whatever lessons I had. I just collected hundreds of them, do them every day. But it actually is much easier when you have a time that's in your diary that you're supposed to go to a class or listen to a teleclass, because otherwise it's sort of easy to make excuses. So that's one of the reasons why I want to keep doing a regular class that people can actually sign up for and listen to live, because it's much easier to motivate yourself. And then you can ask questions and stuff. But I also wanted to mention something that Sally said then, which is kind of one of the key concepts in this work, which is she said, when I tried to do it differently, it was surprising that it made it easier. And this is the thing with the way we live our lives. We do almost everything through habit, without questioning, without awareness, without even knowing what we're doing or even questioning it. And getting into the habit of questioning your movements at such a subtle, profound level like you've been doing for the last 10 weeks, and discovering that, oh, if I try it this way or this way, wow, I just discovered something easier,
that metaphor starts to translate into the rest of your life. So I'm now constantly noticing my emotional patterns. What could I do to make my relationships easy with my friends, with my partners? What could I do to improve the way I'm running my business? Like the thinking that you're doing every week on the floor is very powerful, and the more you get used to thinking that way, you start to find you can find easier ways to do everything. So it was just such a beautifully phrased sentence by Sally. I just wanted to really bring it out. And the last person I'm going to pass to before we all say goodbye is Susan, one of my old students I used to teach every week live in Melbourne. Hello, gorgeous one. How are you?
Oh, I'm really great, and I'm loving the fact that I can do a Feldenkrais class in Tasmania because there's hardly any practitioners down here.
Oh, I did actually Tasmania? Want to ask.
Yeah, yeah, I love it here in Hobart. If there's any chance of doing shorter lessons for recording, like 2 20-minute ones, just for the fact that when you've only got a short amount of time, you know, having a whole hour is just too long. You just want a quick fix, let's put it like that.
Yeah, well, I've already got a whole bunch of short lessons recorded. You probably saw in my last newsletter I offered for sale a series of 10 or 12 lessons for the neck, which were 20-minute ones. So as the months go by next year, I'll be releasing 10 lessons for the lower back, 10 lessons for the upper back. And they'll be made up of chunks of lessons like that, exactly what you're asking for. I do believe it's really important to have a regular full-length lesson once a week, because then you're really going deep into actual movement patterns and not just quick fix stuff. But I always give people both. So I give people a regular lesson where you can go deep, and then I'm starting to sell all the little short ones that I've been recording over the years. Because I agree, I used to like to do once a week a really long one, and then every morning just do 20 minutes or something, because, yeah, we don't have time in our lives. So that's a really good question. So, yeah, in my newsletter I'll probably send out the link for the neck one, which is lots of different short 20-minute things that are really great for neck and shoulders. And then next year I'll put together some ones for different parts of the body and stuff. So, excellent. All right, beautiful people, I'm going to give you all microphones now so you can all say goodbye. See you all. I'll send out the recording in the next couple of days. Bye.